إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we continue with the series on recognizing the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to tell you the story of three birds. Many of you have heard some parts of this in my lecture on the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I cannot tire of repeating these things because they are so beautiful and they are so instructive and impressive in terms of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one is the story of the migration of the bar-tailed godwit, a little bird the size of a snipe which you can hold in your hand, flies from Alaska to New Zealand non-stop, takes 9 days and nights, continuously flies from Alaska to New Zealand non-stop. Now, what is the meaning of 9 days and nights? It means the sun rises, the sun sets, the sun rises, the sun sets, the bird is flying. It means there are oceans underneath, the bird is flying, forests underneath, the bird is flying, cities underneath, the bird is flying, all the way from Alaska to New Zealand. No food, no water, no sleep. The birds do what scientists have discovered is that half the brain sleeps and the other half is awake, and then that half sleeps and this half is awake. Big question, why? And if the answer you give is the answer that usually scientists and ornithologists tell us, it is because there is no food in Alaska in winter, and so the birds fly south to eat. The obvious answer to that question or response to that question is that if the bird is going south because there is no food in Alaska, it doesn't have to go all the way to New Zealand. The bird need not fly all the way to New Zealand, 9 days and nights without food. The bird can just go 1 day down or 2 days down, and it will find all the food in the world, in Europe, in Africa, in Asia. So why does it go all the way to New Zealand? So ask this question seriously and say, why this thing? Number one. Number two, if New Zealand is such a wonderful place to go to for birds in Alaska, bar-tailed godwits are not the only birds in Alaska. How come only they go to New Zealand? How come other birds do not go all the way to New Zealand? Second bird, the bar-headed goose. Take again, migration from Alaska, takes off, goes straight up in the air, hits the jet stream current at 35,000 feet, and goes down in the jet stream current, flies south, covering 1,000 miles a day. Again, question, why? Answer, once again, if you get, which is that winter in Alaska, so much of snow, the geese have no food to eat, so they go south. The same question, why so far south? And second question is, how come they go and how come they discovered this jet stream current? And if they discovered the jet stream, how come the bar-tailed godwits didn't discover it? How come all kinds of other birds in Alaska, they didn't discover it? How come only the bar-tailed goose goes up and 35,000 feet and flies in the jet stream? Number two or three or four, whatever, I've lost the number of count of the questions. Who told the first bar-tailed goose about the jet stream current? Now, if you're talking about animal learned behavior, if you're talking about evolution which favors so those who are successful, so that selective evolution, it has to begin from somewhere. So where did it begin and why? And if somebody tells me that, you know, accidentally one goose happened to fly at 35,000 feet, I would say that's nonsense. If somebody says, well, okay, one goose did that, how come the other geese, how did this goose teach the other geese? I mean, did it start a flying school or something? So very important thing to ask this question is to say, why does this happen? Story, since we are talking about Alaska and cold climates and snow and ice and food and so on and so forth, let me tell you about a bird which is in none of those situations. And that is the ruby-throated hummingbird from the rainforests of South Africa, of South America. The ruby-throated hummingbird literally lives in what would be like saying living inside a bar of chocolate. because in the hummingbirds live in the rainforest, which has the flowers. They feed on nectar. They have enough and more flowers in those rainforests. There's no winter, there's no snow, there's no ice, there's no drought, and you know, none of that. Yet, the ruby-throated hummingbird flies from South America to North America to the bank of the Mississippi River, a total journey of over 2,000 miles. Part of that journey, the ruby-throated hummingbird flies straight across the Gulf of Mexico, which is 600 miles across. Now, the ruby-throated hummingbird itself is a tiny little bird, which the female weighs more than the male, and the female weighs about 5 grams. The male weighs about 4 grams. Now, 5 grams is 1 teaspoon of sugar. So here we have a situation where there is a bird which is living in a forest where it has all the food in the world. It decides to fly and migrate to North America from South America. It's not doing that because Mr. Trump is building a wall and let me get across before the wall is built or anything like that. And it's not the only one particular bird which is, you know, communist in its political leanings and doesn't like capitalism and therefore, or the other way around, which loves capitalism. This is bird behavior. We call it instinct. We call it natural selection or whatever you want to call it. But here is this bird, 5 grams in weight, flying across the Gulf of Mexico. They estimated the flying time and they said that it takes 26 hours. Of non-stop flight. Obviously, it has to be non-stop because this is not a water bird. It can't rest on the water. If it falls into the ocean, it's going across the open ocean. If it falls into the ocean, it's fish food. So here is this little bird, 5 grams in weight, flying clear across the Gulf of Mexico. It takes 26 hours. What does that mean? It means the sun is rising, the bird takes off and it flies. The sun is at its zenith, the bird is flying. The sun is setting, the bird is flying. Pitch dark night, no moon, no stars, the bird is flying, doesn't lose direction, doesn't lose energy, lands the next 2 hours into the next morning, it lands in the United States of America without a visa. So there we are with a little bird who is doing that. Big question once again is to ask why. And the answer to that is really seriously, if you reflect on it, it's not finding food and this and that. The answer is in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْنَ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٌ in Surah Al-Mulk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't they see the birds flying above their heads? Who is it that is holding them up other than Ar-Rahman, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself? So the question of recognizing the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is a question, is something that can be done if you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you take this view, and if you understand the issue like yesterday I said about how and why, and only then can we understand the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only then can we recognize the signs. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about what is the meaning of recognizing a sign, what is a sign, what is the difference between looking at a sign and recognizing a sign. We are not talking here about merely looking at a sign. Obviously, you have to look at a sign to recognize it. But here we are talking about looking at the signs and then recognizing them. So that is very, very important for us to be clear in our minds with respect to recognizing the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all kinds of animals and birds in different parts of the world. And it is easy, which is what most, you know, ornithologists and so on do. It's easy to sort of pass it off and link it with the climate and with flora and food production and so on and so forth, and say that these kinds of birds live in these countries for these reasons, because of this kind of food that is there and because of this kind of weather and so on. But believe me, if you study animals and birds and insects and so on, you will find there are not one or two, there are many completely, totally different aberrations to this, which means that that theory that this kind of bird, peacocks are in India because of the kind of food, doesn't work, because peacocks are not only in India. And the same thing applies across the board to all kinds of other creatures. So therefore, it's very important for us to give this serious thought and ask the right questions, which will lead us to recognizing the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the purpose of creation and which is the purpose of our own creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything in the heavens and the earth, and He said, I have created it for you. By you here is meant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for all human beings, سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي سَمَوَاتِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Not only Muslims, لَكُمْ, for everybody. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for everybody. But we can understand that and recognize that only if we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. More tomorrow inshallah. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمُ وَعَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ اجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمُ.